This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, December 18th. I'm Ariana Spuru for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. Bonds are pretty in right now, especially if you're an older investor. The recent surge in interest rates has sent bond yields to a near 15-year high. And that means a lot of investors with their eyes on retirement are moving their money away from stocks.
Because higher yields bring higher incomes, which is great for retirees. And higher bond yields also mean that it's more attractive to shift more money into bonds, which reduces the risk of a retirement portfolio.
But does that mean younger investors should take another look at bonds too? We'll talk with our retirement reporter, Ann Turgeson, about that after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELFT. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit CLAconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Baby boomers are buying bonds. When traditionally they've held on tight to their stocks, a shift in interest rates has turned a generation of older investors into bond buyers. Here with more on it is WSJ retirement reporter Ann Turgeson. So Ann, why is this happening now?
For retirees, it's always been an attractive concept to invest in income-generating investments. So for example, bonds generate income through bond yields and stocks with dividends. These days, with interest rates higher, retirees can earn more on their investments, their bond investments. And if you invest in relatively high quality bonds, the risk of default is quite low. So this is very attractive to retirees too.
We've talked on the show before about how a lot of older investors have been holding on to stocks, despite them being riskier than bonds. So this move into bonds seems like a shift.
Well, when people get older, the ideal is that they reduce their reliance on stocks. So, you know, there's been a lot of discussion in the news recently about the so-called 60-40 portfolio, which is sort of a standard recommendation to people who are approaching retirement or in retirement, which is to hold 60% of your portfolio in stocks and 40% in bonds. But for years now, because interest rates have been so low, they were very close to zero a couple years ago, the incentive to hold bonds has been not really there for retirees, because if you can really earn next to nothing on your bonds, then the thinking is, why bother? So for a long time, stocks have been the only game in town for retirees. And for that reason, a lot of retirees, a lot of baby boomers in particular, remained pretty heavily invested in stocks, even as they got older. Now that's kind of risky, because if the stock market goes down and a retiree who's relying on their portfolio to make ends meet, all of a sudden overnight, they can lose a significant percentage of that wealth. So for retirees, the rise in interest rates and the rise in bond yields has been very good news.
In your story, you describe this generation as the Woodstock generation. Does that mean now they're turning into the wood bond generation?
Right. Yes.
And this seems like it's happening at a convenient time for baby boomers.
For baby boomers, this is very good news. The youngest baby boomers are about 59 now. The oldest baby boomers are 77. That is a very good time period in which to shift more money into bonds. And so with yields higher, these baby boomers who really have had the great luck of having benefited from a series of bull markets that started in 1982, bull markets in stocks that have really helped them in their ability to save for retirement. Now, the shift in yields to higher yields is really helping them out in retirement because higher yields bring higher incomes, which is great for retirees. And higher bond yields also mean that it's more attractive to shift more money into bonds, which reduces the risk of a retirement portfolio.
A quick refresher before we get more into it. Can you tell us a little more about the benefits of buying bonds specifically?
So there are two ways to get returns from bonds. One is through income, through yield. So when you invest in a bond, if you invest $100,000 in a bond that yields 4%, you're going to earn $4,000 a year on that bond. And then when the bond matures, you get your principal back. You get your $100,000 back. The other way to get return on a bond is price appreciation. And that involves trading bonds, which a lot of individuals don't do. If they're in a mutual fund, the mutual fund is going to trade the bonds for them. And it's possible when interest rates go down, bond prices rise. So it's possible to earn some appreciation on the price of the bond and to earn a gain that way as well.
Does the type of bond people buy matter here?
Okay, so there's a spectrum of bonds that you can buy, and some are quite low in risk, including U.S. Treasury bonds. High-grade corporate bonds are also fairly low in risk. And then as you move out on the risk spectrum, you can buy riskier bonds, including we've all heard of junk bonds, which are basically the bonds issued by corporations that don't have good investment grade ratings. A lot of it depends on the risk profile of the person. But, you know, for a long time, the only way to get like a good yield on bonds was to go way out on that risk spectrum and buy things like junk bonds that have a higher chance of defaulting and they expose the person who holds them to risk. The great thing about now is that because interest rates have gone up so dramatically in recent months and over the past couple of years, it's possible now to get kind of a healthy yield out of a relatively low risk bond like a U.S. Treasury bond, which in theory is riskless because the chances of the U.S. government defaulting are very low.
Many people expect interest rates to go down in 2024. So what would happen to these bond yields if that happens?
The bond yields on short-term bonds, you know, 3-month, 6-month, whatever, newly issued bonds, those are going to adjust pretty quickly to the new lower rate. The longer term bonds, if you purchased a 30-year bond that was paying 5%, you know, you still hold that bond and that yield remains.
What about younger investors? Does it make sense for them to switch?
For younger investors, typically, they should be pretty heavily allocated towards stocks. And the thinking there is that if you're 25 years old, and you're just starting out in a job, and you're just starting to save in a 401k, time is on your side. So you can take the risk that the stock market is going to maybe go down significantly. And that's not going to affect your life. It's going to affect your 401k balance, but you have time to recover. The stock market tends to go up over long periods of time. So the thinking is that younger people should still maintain relatively aggressive allocations towards stocks and not really rotate into bonds too much. There probably are exceptions to that. You know, if somebody is extremely risk averse and if they're at risk of selling all their stocks, if the market goes down, that can be a person who might benefit from increasing their allocation towards bonds. But in general, with young people, the answer is to stick with stocks.
That's WSJ reporter Ann Turkeson. And that's it for Your Money Briefing. This episode was produced by me, Ariana Aspuru, with supervising producer Melanie Roy and deputy editor Chris Zinsley. I'm Ariana Aspuru for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.